Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining in for this episode of Causes or Cures. I'm Dr. Eeks, your host. Thanks so much for being here. Today, we are going to talk about periods. The red tide, menstruation. Now, if that makes some of you uncomfortable and you want to run for the hills right now, you should definitely stick around because this show is for you. I promise. My guest today is Corrine Chambers-Saney, CEO of Diva and inventor of the Diva Cup, which is a menstrual cup. In the podcast, we're going to talk about menstrual equity and period poverty, two things I'm sure a bunch of you don't know anything about, especially maybe more of my backwoodsy listeners. And I can say that because I grew up in Trucksville, so I know what people talk about, you know, in like really small rural towns, okay? What? It's a podcast about periods. The only blood I want to talk about is from the buck I get next hunting season. those types, you guys need to listen. And we're going to talk about why these two things should matter to everybody. It's important. We're going to talk about the need to normalize conversations around menstruation. It's nature's course. It's nature's course. And even though we've made some strides, when we get our period, we still feel the need to hide, or we say things like, my friend is visiting. Oh, okay. Got it. It's like it's taboo to say, I have my period. The horror! Oh my god. We'll talk about a documentary Corrine helped create called Pandora's Box, which goes into greater detail around period inequity around the globe. Of course, we'll talk about the Diva Cup, what it is, how it works, how it compares to pads, pads with wings and pads without, how it compares to tampons. And we will also talk about a menstrual health leave policy, something Diva implemented, and what that is all about. And, you know, I can see how some people might not like that. So I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it. You know, I'm thinking right now when I was a cadet at the military academy, and if we had something like that, oh, man, that would have been rough for us. Like, the good old boys already thought the army was ruined when they let women in. But with that policy, oh, man, their heads would have exploded. Sir, I can't report to drill today because I'm on menstrual health leave.
What? Cadet? Cadet, what makes the green grass grow?
Sir, blood. Blood makes the green grass grow.
That's right, cadet. You're gonna drop and give me 20.
Okay. Flashback. At the same time, I can totally see its value, the policy's value, because, well, periods, dysphoria, diarrhea, bloating, depression, lashing out, you want to kill people around you, right? Like, I mean, you guys get it. It's like, sometimes I say, there's nothing more sexist than nature, right? Like, every month, like, here you go. Enjoy. Enjoy. Okay. So this will be a fun and interesting discussion. So let's connect to Corrine and hear what she has to say. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining in. We are here connecting with Corrine Chambers-Saney. She is the CEO and the founder of Diva, formerly called Diva Cup, and she's a great women's health advocate. So, Corrine, we're really excited to have you here. Thanks so much for joining in.
Thanks so much for having me, Erin.
Absolutely. I've actually heard a lot about your company, so this is cool that you're here. But, you know, can you tell us, before we dive in to, you know, more about the company, can you let us know, what was your inspiration? How did you get started here?
Well, how we actually got started was my mom, Francine. My mom, at about 13 years old in the 60s, growing up in the 60s, she was frustrated with the menstrual products available and was kind of dreaming of this concept that there had to be something better, and was kind of picturing this cup, and you know, it just made sense to her. She's very practical, and she's like, she could probably come up with a new product every day, but this was something she was really dreaming of and passionate about, and obviously couldn't do anything about as a teen. But it turned out when I was a teen, she discovered this menstrual cup concept and that it had been around since the 1930s. And then she was like so frustrated, like, why have we suffered all these years with these awful products that don't even work? And so her passion, and she completely did a 180 in her life, and she began promoting menstrual cups in 1992, some of the earlier versions. And when I graduated, we decided that there had to be a better version, like more modern, not made out of the old rubber kind of toilet plunger material that was around in over the last 70 years. Yeah. So we modernized and used our experience and our own support of other women in creating a better, more modern version out of medical grade silicone. And that started like over 20 years ago. We started working on this in like 2001 and started promoting the Diva Cup in 2003. So since 92, we've been like in the menstrual cup business.
Very cool. So you get to work with your mom. It's kind of neat.
It was amazing. She's now retired, but yeah. we had a great time.
I bet. I don't know if I could do that with my mom. So that's kudos to for just pulling that off even. I guess daughters and moms can tend to cross hairs. So you've been at this for a while, and you know, we're always talking about how we talk about periods in society. I was curious, what are your thoughts, having been in this business, on how our dialogue around menstruation has evolved?
Mm-hmm. That's such an interesting question, because like from a business perspective alone, I can tell you it's changed tremendously since we started. And in the early days, we couldn't even get buyers to look us in the eye when we were in meetings with them. They were like so embarrassed. Most of the buyers were male, and they were older. Like we were in meetings with, you know, gray-haired men talking about like how this concept was going to revolutionize periods. And they're like, oh my God, like they didn't even want to look at us. So it was pretty bad in the beginning. But I think the one good thing is that we have seen conversations come a long way. There's still obviously so many taboos and stigmas around periods, but it's definitely come a long way over the 20 years I've been in the business. And especially like when we're talking to retailers, they're a lot more open about it. They're open to more eco-friendly options. They understand sustainability. They seem to actually be more concerned for women's health. And it's not so closed as it was, but I have to say there's still a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to be done. Yeah. I mean, cause it's funny cause it's you even have to come up with like names, you know, my friend and, you know, out of commission. When I was at West Point where I did my undergrad, there wasn't a lot of women there, and we would say female emergency. Like if a male officer would ask us something, we'd just be like, sir, I'm having a female emergency. I mean, looking back, it's crazy that, we had to do that.
And there still is quite a bit of that, but I think a way that we can continue to break down those stigmas, like in your house, just talk openly. I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and like I just make sure to be, you know, really open about periods and, hey, did you get your period? And how are you feeling? And like we talk about that openly in front of the guys. So it just like, that's one small way I think that we can just normalize it, and we don't have to like hide it as we did before.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. And it might be better in the US, but this brought me to, I'm a big documentaries person, especially when it comes to kind of like public health and health issues. But I saw that You were instrumental in creating this documentary called Pandora's Box, and you were highlighting I didn't see it. I want to see it, but it looks like it highlights the global pandemic of menstrual inequity and period poverty. So could you, what do those words mean?
Sure. You know, it's still relatively new terminology. In 2015, an activist and lawyer named Jennifer Wise Wolf coined the term menstrual equity, which is really just an extension of human rights and looking at gender equality in the lens of menstruation and periods and everything that falls under. So accessibility, ability to actually attain and purchase or acquire products, because surprisingly, even in the US and in Canada, this isn't kind of a developing nations issue. This is actually something happening right here. And many, many women don't have access to those products when they need it. So there's the, that's kind of where the period poverty comes in. So that just means not being able to, you know, really the struggle that low income women and girls face while trying to afford them, and the lack of access, the lack of ability to clean and have facilities, and really the adequate information around it. So that's really, that movement has been growing, and it's been really wonderful to see with the documentary how much awareness we've been able to create around this issue and just provide one more tool for education.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the documentary covers different countries, women in different countries.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that's really unique about the documentary. It's a full-length documentary. It's now available free to stream on YouTube. And it's filmed in 5 countries. We actually go into really deep, in-depth interviews in the U.S. With former inmates, that and what their experience was like with regards to menstruating in prison. And it goes to Africa, to India, in the UK, in Canada, in the US. There's quite a lot.
Wow.
It's very diverse, like really touches on many, many issues around, and stories that I think are, the storytelling is another way that we can really break down these barriers and just create an opportunity to have these conversations.
Oh, no, I totally agree. 100%. I think it's one of the better ways in some, just because people can, you know, they remember a story. We've been telling stories since humans were around. So I do. I think it's great that you're doing that. I wanted, and you said the film was available on YouTube, so people can watch it there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's great. Free to stream. So it's actually won multiple awards. It's been screened at film festivals, and it's really, really incredible and
well done.
Directed. Our director, Rebecca Snow, was incredible, and our whole team and partners, Media One, it all came together. So it's something I'm definitely really proud of. And yeah, even though it's a few years old now, I don't think it's still just as timely today as it was then.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing that caught my eye, you know, in terms of like women's health initiatives, was that your company was the first brand to introduce a menstrual health leave policy. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we are maybe the only company in Canada that has introduced this leave. So how it works is we give our employees 1 day per month, obviously menstruating employees. They don't need a doctor's note or anything, so they can have up to 12 days off a year to deal with, you know, pain and, you know, cramping and things like that. And just like rest, really, like women need rest when they're menstruating.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just, I think the interesting thing, we've had a lot of pushback and people saying, well, that doesn't make any sense. And how is that fair to non-menstruating employees? But we've actually seen that our whole company has been very supportive of that. And on average, people are using it, but they're not taking advantage of it. They may take it like, you know, three times. We just completed our full first year, like three times in the year. And so it's not like, oh, I'm just entitled to take this extra day off. It's just like, you know, if they really are engaged in the company and they take it when they need it. And we need to have this in place so that, again, like supporting conversations and normalizing menstruation and making sure that women and people who menstruate feel safe and supported, and not that like they have to push through the pain, like how we've been taught in society, just, you know, suck it up. It's not real. It's not actually like acknowledging that, you know, dysmenorrhea and painful periods is a real thing. It's just kind of like, yeah, just take an Advil and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, like premenstrual dysphoria and all of that. It's interesting. I was curious about the feedback because on one hand I could see people supporting it, and on the other hand I could see you getting some pushback. You know, in terms of like, well, it's normal. Like people who, you know, people menstruate. So it's interesting though. It seems like that your company has widely accepted it.
Yeah, and it is something that other countries are doing. And we actually looked to Australia. They have an organization there that really led the way in this. And even in some of the Scandinavian countries like Finland and Japan, like there's a lot of other countries that are leading the way. Spain was just in the news. They actually implemented it at a government level, which is the first country to do that, not just the companies in those countries. So Spain has actually put this as a like a mandatory kind of option for women. So like there is some progress, but again, you know, a lot of work to be done. And I think most people still think it's kind of a joke. It's just like, we're not going to do that. But there are some real benefits. And if you're pushing your employees to work through period pain, they're not going to be productive anyways, and they're going to get run down, and they're not going to be able to contribute as much to the organization. And we certainly haven't seen any less output from our team and who've been taking it.
Well, that's true too. And like, you know, you learn to, to regulate, you know, you might do more after you come back, you rest, and then you can come back and, you know, work better. I agree with you. There's this like sort of idea that, oh, you have to stay there and push through everything, you know, whether you're sleep deprived, you know, menstruating, whatever. But it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you're going to have greater output that way. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like work culture, I guess. So tell me a little bit about, you know, people may not know who are listening, what a Diva Cup is. How is it different from other products out there?
Yeah. Well, a Diva Cup is a menstrual cup, and it's really just a small silicone kind of receptacle. It's like bell-shaped. It's not that big, comes in a few sizes, and basically it's just folded, inserted into the vaginal canal, and it catches the flow. So it can be worn up to 12 hours. It's sustainable. You just remove it, wash it out, and reuse it. So it does provide a lot more freedom. And it's just, I find it more comfortable. I cannot use tampons or pads. Like once I tried a cup, I'm like, I've literally not had a Diva cup and gone to a store when I'm traveling and bought a Diva cup because I'm like, I cannot live without it even one cycle. But it's just, it's really changed the period game now, I think. And there's many other cups and now discs, and we just launched, our Diva disc, menstrual disc, which is another type of menstrual cup that's worn a little differently, a little bit higher and tucked behind the pubic bone. So that has some different advantages too. It can be worn also during intercourse, and it's better for women who can't wear a menstrual cup. Like the shape, it just doesn't work with their bodies, or if they have prolapse or anything like that. So it's just another option. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of benefits to menstrual cups and discs. And I think when you just try them, you can just see how much better your body feels and like less irritated. I actually, you know, cramp when I wear a tampon, and I don't have that experience at all with a menstrual cup or a disc. It's just so much more comfortable, and I can sport swimming. I mean, there's just so many advantages in wearing it all day, and mm-hmm. the sustainability factor. So that's, yeah, you can check out more on our Instagram. We have tons of our TikTok and YouTube channels. There's lots of educational materials and videos and stuff. So
more comfortable than tampons and pads. What are some of the benefits over like a pad?
Well, for pads, I find the worst part about pads is the odor. It's just, you know, after you've been wearing a pad all day and it's uncomfortable and you just like feel like you're wearing a diaper, and with a cup or a disc, it's so comfortable. Like you literally forget you're even wearing it, and you can just like, yeah, carry on with your day. And it's just, if you want to do sports or you're at the beach or like on vacation, I mean, how many times does your period end up land when you're on your vacation?
And all the time.
Yeah. I feel like it just like put such a damper on it. And you gotta pack all these products and you gotta fill your suitcase with all that. Like all you need is your little cup and you're like good to go. So yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. It doesn't cooperate. My last vacation, right when I was in the airport ready to take off, I was like, you're kidding me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I was hoping I was sending like communicating with my uterus in some kind of holistic way, but no. So there's a lot of emphasis on planet friendly products today. And you mentioned, you know, sustainability. So can you talk more about that? Like what's going on there?
Well, literally there are billions and billions and billions of tampons, pads, packaging, all the plastic and the boxes and everything that end up in landfills every year, not to mention the applicators getting flushed down the toilets and ending up in the oceans. I'm sure if you've ever seen a picture of like plastic washed up on the beaches, it's like full of tampon applicators. That is a huge, huge problem. And, you know, one reusable product will keep hundreds of products for each woman out of the landfill every single year. So that's like a huge, huge thing. And even like what we've just in the sustainability with what we've donated, we've literally diverted 3.6 million tampons and pads and packaging from landfill just from our donations alone.
Wow. I mean, that's interesting. You don't really think about that aspect of it. So it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. We kind of have to now. I mean, we're running out of space, and it's just something you think it's small, but it does add up when, you know, 50% of the population have periods and are throwing away products. So, I mean, I feel like over the years, we've really, 20 years of providing menstrual cups, we've really kept a lot of, like, probably even billions at this point of products out of the landfills.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's just reason alone to give it a shot and try it out. In addition to the comfort factor, yeah, for sure.
And not to mention how much money, you know, one Diva Cup can save over $200 each year.
That's true. So you just buy one and that you can use it. People use it for how long?
You can use it. Most people change it every year or two. It depends on how often you use it and how you care for it. And if it starts to kind of look discolored too much over time, or like there's some signs, because everyone's pH is different in their body too and interacts with the silicone differently. Some people have them for years, but others, you know, I personally like to change my cup like every year, or at least like 2 years for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you can get them in different colors and designs, or is this?
Well, we only make them currently in the clear, in the natural. Mm-hmm. And there comes in three sizes. There's a kind of a small one, size zero, a medium one, size one, and a little bit bigger one, size two. And it's kind of like a slim, neat, regular, and like super, if you could compare. And we have the sizing chart on the website if you need help to pick mm-hmm. a size. And
they stay put.
Yeah. Like, once you put it in,
you're good.
Once you put it in, like it really does. I mean, if you do have issues with it, some women who've had many babies and have, like, you know, their pelvic floor muscles are really weak, that they may have some issues. That's also a disc can help solve that, because it's worn differently, but also as far as like, for the most part, it shouldn't move around. It stays in place. The canal is only 4 to 6 inches long. It can't really get lost. So everyone has that fear. It's like, am I going to see this thing again? And there's no string like a tampon, but it's not worn high like a tampon. It's worn lower in the canal.
Right, so right.
Actually, like when you go to get it, it should be right there. And I find like if it travels up a little bit, like mm-hmm. just bearing down the muscle,
yeah,
will bring the cup back down.
And, okay, but it's not going to end up like going away, like leaving.
No, it can't end up in your stomach or something, like float through your body. It does, like,
it stays there for the most part.
And it's you know, your cervix blocks it off,
yeah,
off the canal. And the only thing is that the odd time, if it does get stuck, it's usually when people are panicking about it. And they're like, because if you're panicking and stressed, mm-hmm. it's going to tense your muscles. Mm. And so it's always important. We have an amazing customer experience team that helps people if they have any questions or trouble, and we're we've got a lot of materials and stuff we've created, because we've been doing this so long. We're the experts. We know how to support people going through this. So it's like, take like anything, it takes a little bit of a learning curve. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's like first time, no problem, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure it out and how the right way to, you know, get it fitted properly. And but it's pretty simple.
It's simple.
Yeah, it's simple.
And this is all divacup.com, is that?
Yeah, divacup.com, shop diva. We're kind of changing everything over, so now it's like shopdiva.com.
Ah.
And then we have our Instagram page, our TikTok page,
nice.
Facebook, but mostly I think Instagram and TikTok kind of have a lot of content now, and It's a great resource.
Yeah, yeah.
To find all things cups and discs.
Okay, cups and discs. Are you guys creating anything else, or is this most cups and discs?
No, we're working on it. We are. Stay tuned. You gotta follow us.
I can do that.
Stay in the know.
I can do that, Corinne. This is great. This is all good stuff. My last question for you, you're a CEO, a woman in this space. What has been, your biggest challenge or one of your biggest challenges doing this in this area, particularly? I think it's really unique.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge was being taken seriously as a woman, as a young woman too. When I started, I was only 25, and, really being laughed at and not taken seriously. Even trying to get this product created and made was a whole thing. It was really, really difficult. And, I think my message to other women is, keep going. Don't get frustrated, even though you are frustrated, but don't give up. Because, when you believe in something, you have a passion for something, you just find a way to keep going. And I really want to motivate women to, find their unique voices and follow their passion and, face their fear. Because Diva Cup wouldn't be, like, this whole industry wouldn't be where it is if we would have given up. So, we were told that nobody would ever use menstrual cups. This was ridiculous. It was disgusting. It was blah, 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 all the things. Mm-hmm. And look at where it is today. It's like completely revolutionized the menstrual care industry globally and paved the way for many other companies. So don't give up. Keep going.
Keep going. No, that's great. That's fantastic. And in addition to your company, I think it's great just what you're doing, from a public health perspective, changing the dialogue, and making it okay to talk about this. Cause it's been it shouldn't be taboo. It never should have been, but, there's a lot of catching up to do there. So I think that's great. And kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you so much. And I definitely encourage everyone to check out the documentary Pandora's Box, the film, and check it out on YouTube.
Will do. I'll do that too. Thank you, Corinne. Thanks, this was a pleasure. Aaron. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day there.
And you too.
Good luck with this. Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Let me know what you thought. Of course, you can reach me at bloomingwellness.com or find me on the gram, Twitnom, or the Book of Face, Dr. Eeks. That's my name. I also connected to Diva and the documentary Pandora's Box, which hopefully some of you guys will watch. You can find those links in the podcast description and on my blog. And now it's time for the quote. Today's quote, that hopefully won't be drowned out by the traffic in New York City, is from the book The Idiot Girls Action Adventure Club, True Tales from a Magnificent and Clumsy Life by Lari Notaro. It was 1976. It was one of the darkest days of my life when that nurse, Mrs. Shimmer, pulled out a maxi pad that measured the width and depth of a mattress and showed us how to use it. It had a belt with it that looked like a slingshot that possessed the jaw-dropping potential to pop a man's head like a gourd. As she stretched the belt between the fingers of her two hands, Mrs. Shimmer told us becoming a woman was a magical and beautiful experience. All right, guys. Hope to see you here next time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.